Hello and welcome into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Thank you for watching us on the We the Patriots USA Rumble channel and Red Voice Media, and for listening on New Hampshire Family Radio WLMW 90.7 FM Manchester, New Hampshire, KKVV Radio in Las Vegas, Real Talk 93.3 The Voice of Freedom in St. Louis, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like us on your station, email us at Taryn@WeThePatriotsUSA.org.
If you message me or post on social media how you want to, you know, buy 10 acres and set up your homestead, get off the grid, well, I am going to introduce you to a couple who did just that, but they started so much smaller than 10 acres. So they're going to take you through their evolution so you can apply that to your life and make it happen for yourself, little baby steps at a time. And they're also going to teach you how to make farmer's cheese so you can actually apply this right now after you watch this episode. So if you're listening to us on the radio, I invite you to head over to our We the Patriots USA Rumble channel or Red Voice Media so you can actually watch the cheese making process as well. I also invite you to head over to TarynGregson.com where you can get our first ever Faith, Family, and Freedom Volume 1 Summer 2023 edition, where we just released it here at the event that I spoke at this weekend and that you've been hearing about over a course of four episodes here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Or you can email me, Taryn@WeThePatriotsUSA.org. Give me your address and I will mail one to you in the mail. So much information, including my own sourdough bread machine recipe, where I'm showing you how to, yes, make things from scratch, but use modern conveniences of a bread maker. But without further ado, let's hear from Leslie and James after our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by The Freedom People, providing comprehensive solutions for individuals and businesses to take control and protect their freedoms. Visit thefreedompeople.org to reclaim your freedoms. This episode is brought to you by The Carnivore Bar, providing a fuel source for ancestral, carnivore, paleo, and keto eaters who value their on-the-go autonomy without sacrificing quality nutrition. Visit carnivorebar.com for more information.
Where do we go from here? Because the battle has just begun. As eyes open, we continue to arm ourselves with the truth in all aspects of our lives, asking questions and relentlessly searching for answers, educating ourselves and forging a new path forward. Hear from real people faithfully pursuing freedom. This is Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization working to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights.
So excited, Leslie, to talk to you for this episode because you and your husband James invited us all, wonderful hospitality, you guys have that spiritual gift, to invite us all here to your homestead for this event. Let's take people a little bit through your journey because so many people want to do this. So many people want to go buy 10 acres like you guys did, set up your homestead with your six children that you guys have. But that's not how it all started for you guys. It was baby steps.
Oh, massive baby steps. Yeah. My husband grew up in the country and I grew up in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like sidewalks were a thing.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Not knowing what it's like to really live in the country. It's like a rural subdivision. So I was like, oh, well, I live in the country with neighbors. And I married my husband who lived in downtown Grand Rapids at the time. So I'm like, he's a city boy. We're great. Mm-hmm. And probably 5 years into our marriage, he started hunting, which he never told me he did before we got married. I was like, hey, there was no disclosure. This is not right. But he started kind of feeling like we needed to work more on growing our own food and being more self-sustainable. So we eventually we bought some property north of where we lived, and we were just going to build and start there on an acre. Mm-hmm. And as we were doing that, I thought, what if we can find a house already built on acreage? And we did. We found 2.5 acres with this old farmhouse that was built in 1888. We moved into it. We remodeled the whole thing, the whole 6 years that we, 6.5 years we were there. But we were introduced to living off of the land. Every tree on the property was edible in some way, shape, or form.
Amazing.
There was like a quarter acre garden. My husband grew all of the things. He preserved, he canned. We had grapevines, fruit trees. It was this beautiful oasis on 2.5 acres. We did chickens, which I feel like chickens are so, anybody can do
yes.
them. It's so easy. And he started talking about, we should maybe get goats. Like, goats would be a cool thing. And I was like, I was nursing a baby. So for me, I'm thinking, goats seem tricky.
Yeah.
Like, we'll work into that. And then one day he came home with goats. And then I fell in love with them.
Yeah.
So as we started getting further into this journey of raising dairy goats and milking them and growing our food and really deciding how we wanted to live our life, I realized I did not want to live in the north.
Yeah.
Because winters in Michigan are hard. And milking a goat in Michigan in January when it's negative 10 is impossible.
Sure.
Like you walk away and you can't move your fingers. So I looked at him and I said, I want to live this, but not here. And we kind of went through a journey of finding where we fit, and we felt like Southwest Missouri was our niche. It was our place. So,
and now you have 10 acres, but I love yes. that you told your journey, because you didn't just start off with 10 acres.
No.
It's such a learning process. I even myself, now that my husband and I were setting up on 2.5 acres.
Perfect.
But we started in a subdivision
yeah.
with chickens in our backyard, going through the whole process of myself learning how to cook many things from scratch,
yeah.
doing the sourdough thing. And that's what I love about you guys, what you've done here at this event, is that you're teaching people the yeah. things that you've learned along the way. In a minute here, we're going to show how to make farmer's cheese. But tell people how you can't give up, because it takes so much trial and error. There's so many bad batches of bread and cheese and
oh my.
Whatever.
Yeah, my first batch of yogurt was a total flop.
Yeah.
It didn't come together at all. And I was like, now what do I... That was 2 gallons of milk. That's
yeah.
like, that's expensive.
It is.
Especially when you're milking the goat yourself. And so I was like, well, we're going to freeze it and we're going to have frozen yogurt, because it still has that tang of yogurt. It just didn't get hard. It's very liquidy, which can happen with
sure.
milk. But we have a perseverance personality, I think. So we see a challenge and we're not swayed by it. It doesn't really scare us and it doesn't push us away. When we bought this place, it was completely trashed. You couldn't see any of the things that you can see now. We couldn't see. And we just had that determination that this is how we want to live. So it's worth fighting for, no matter how difficult it gets. And we're that way with everything. We're that way with our marriage. We're that way with friendships, with family. Like, it's worth sacrificing something that makes you comfortable for something that's going to be better. And so that, I think a lot of it has to do with your perspective and what you really desire out of life.
I think
that's
so.
What it's been for us.
I think so too. I think a lot of people, they sit around and they think that they want the 10 acres and to do it all. But then once they start to think about the work that goes
yeah.
into it, they feel defeated or like mm-hmm. they can't do it.
Or it's overwhelming, because it's a lot. And one thing that Billy has taught me is you just go in one bite at a time. Like James says this all the time. How do you eat an elephant?
Yeah.
One bite at a time. So we just focused on one thing at a time. We moved here and we got the chickens situated and the goats situated, and then we bought cows and brought the cows. And once we felt like we had a handle on that, we bought the sheep. And so we got that going. And then this spring we started talking about, okay, where are we going to grow our food? How's that going to look?
Right now, go talk to Daddy, okay?
And so we started mapping all of that out. And then as we're doing all of these things, we're cleaning up the areas and we're organizing it in a way that seems functional to us. But with farming, you change a lot of things. And so next year things might look totally different,
sure.
but we are focused on just doing that one thing at a time and not getting overwhelmed by all of it. Because when you do look at it, it is overwhelming
mm-hmm.
and it's scary. And I don't know for other people, but for me, when I start to get overwhelmed, I kind of shut down and I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit in my bed and, you know, eat my raisins or something. I don't
yeah.
want to go out and do anything because it's too much. But just finding one thing and starting with that one thing. So if you're living in a suburb, starting with chickens, if if your ordinance allows it. If they don't, start preserving food or, you know, fermenting food and making sourdough.
Or in this case, I love, this is a great setup for the video with your husband, James. This is how you can make farmer's cheese. So you can make cheese yourself, make your milk that you're buying go a lot further because you get a lot more out of the milk that you can buy to make cheese. So let's check this out.
You bring your milk to 172 degrees if you're not pasteurizing it. If you're pasteurizing it, you want it to be 185 degrees. Bring it up to 172 in this case. At that point, you'd add your cheese culture, whether it's going to be mozzarella, cheddar, whatever. And depending on the culture, it's going to tell you how long to wait until you put your vinegar or rennet in. And what to do from that point. Different cheeses take different times and different processes to make. So the farm cheese is super easy. You don't have to do any culture at all, actually. When we started doing this, we brought our milk up to temperature, put in half a cup of vinegar for 1 gallon of milk. You get your curds, you strain out your curds, you have farm cheese. And it's good.
We flavored it with different flavors.
At that point, you know, when it's still warm, put your salt in and kind of knead it like you would bread. Put in herbs, garlic, probably your any of those.
Dill.
Yeah.
I like dill and everything.
Anything that you like really could go into that. And it'll take about 20 seconds and you'll start seeing the curds in there. So while we're watching this, if anybody wants to make apple cider vinegar, that's really fun. All of your leftover apple cores and peels from making apple pie and stuff, a little bit of sugar, and just let it ferment with an open cap, like a coffee filter or something on top of a jar. And it's actually really good. Like, I would almost drink it. This is still really hot, almost to the point where I'm burning my hands.
Where's the silver?
So just let it cool down.
I have it. We've used it already today.
But just squeeze that way out is all we're going to do. And once we're done with that, can you dump this whey into something else?
Yeah, I'll put it into the
bowl. Or just give me the other bowl.
Yeah, keep that whey, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
valuable. So, oh, yes, it is.
I mean, worst thing you can do with this whey is mix it in with chicken feed or something that...
The worst thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of better things you can use it for. So.
I'm like, no, we fed it to the chickens. It's not worse. But I think you mean because you can use it.
Yes. And you can actually still make another cheese from that whey. Forget... Is it Parmesan? Yeah.
I love the Parm.
Interesting.
Yep. So, a little bit of a process, but... Should we mix any herbs or anything into this?
No, I think leave it cheddar. I always want to mix dill, and you never want to do so.
Dill's for pickles. So let's take a peek at it here real quick.
That's what I say.
What type of texture are you wanting to see here?
The end result is you want a hard cheese.
Okay.
If you wanted cottage cheese, at that point you're good. Put it in a bowl, put it in the fridge, you've got cottage cheese.
Or the soft cheese that you get at the store.
The soft cheese, yep. So the kind of exotic goat cheeses that you would buy are all really soft. So I'm thinking they probably just strain them like this and just let them sit on the counter, and then you can slice it from there. But I like mine hard. I like to put it on things, crackers.
That cheese you made yesterday was amazing.
Yeah, and this is the same process, the same culture.
Yeah, this is what we did last Sunday.
Like I'm saying. And that was what we ate yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So once you get it to where you want it, and you put your herbs in it, I like to leave it in the cheesecloth when I do this. But this is the cheese press that I made. So we're just going to tip it over, and it's just a block is all it is. Put the cheese in there. You can get a better look at the cheese now if you want.
Does it look like cottage cheese?
Yep, it's cottage cheese right now. That's what they're talking about, eating her curds and whey.
Yeah.
That's pata cheese. So, and I just like to fold this cloth over.
I'm stepping on something.
And then we put the piston on. Hey, Lacey, can you back up just a pinch? Thank you, sweetie.
Hey, monkey, you get to watch the father.
Here is the weight is on the counter in the garage. Can you go grab it for me? And then we just flip it over and let it drip.
And remind us, how much milk did we start with and how much cheese are we going to wind up with?
Good question.
1 gallon of milk. You're going to use a half a cup of vinegar, either apple cider vinegar or distilled vinegar is fine. The rennet, I couldn't tell you. I think they're probably going to be different. You'd have to follow the instructions on, yep, on the rennet. Bring it to 172 degrees if you don't want pasteurization. If you do want pasteurization, you need to go to 185. You don't want it to boil, so when you're pasteurizing it, you're going to bring it just to a simmer and then turn your heat off. Stir it so that it doesn't cook, basically, at the bottom. Once it's reached temperature, you're going to want to put your cultures in, and I think most cheeses, you're going to want to stir that at least 150, 155 degrees for 10 minutes. And then you go to the process we just did, strain it out, get the whey out of the cheese, put your cheesecloth in your press and get it pressed. The longer and more weight that you put on your press, the denser your cheese is going to be. So if I just push on this a little bit and get the whey out as much as possible, it's going to leave us probably a little bit larger than a store-bought cheese. Okay. The last time I did 2 gallons, and I couldn't even get the plunger in, which is why I did a gallon today, and it kept wanting to tip over just because it was too much for this little press. So the end result is this cheese will end up filling up all the cracks, and we'll get probably 3/4 inch thick by this space of cheese.
How long do you let it sit in the press?
The longer, the better. So you're probably going to want this at least for 12 hours. I usually just put it in the fridge nice for a day.
Lacey, come here, please.
It's sticky? So, this is a 25-pound weight.
This weight is a weight that we actually just found amongst the trash.
Okay, some good trash.
Very useful. Yeah.
So the process of cheese making is you want to slowly add weight to your press.
Compress it over time, not immediately, but a little.
Yeah, because it's going to take time for that. It's kind of like pores. It wants to come out as the weight is added. So if you read any instructions on it, it's going to say put it in your press and just use the press arm. I don't have an arm. This is my own design, but there's an arm that comes up and then a weight hangs on it and it pushes down on your press. So for however long, a couple hours, and then you add 20 pounds, and then you add, you know, 40 pounds, and up to 80 pounds on some cheeses.
What have you done with, like, the one we just had?
The one that we just had is about the consistency that I like it, because you can still cut it, and that was just 25 pounds.
Oh.
Yeah. So I leave this 25 pounds on here for a day.
Okay. In the refrigerator?
I put mine on the counter until it's done dripping, or really outside is the best as long as the flies can't get to it, which is why I designed this one.
Yeah.
So you only put it in the refrigerator when you're done.
And really you don't need
to. You don't have to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the longer you age your cheese, the better flavor you're going to get. So the farm cheese, I don't know if that would really make a difference if you aged it or not, because it doesn't have any cheese cultures in it, but your cheddar, for sure.
We also have 6 kids.
Yeah, it does not last
longer than a week, and a week is really kind of pushing
it. Well, now you just made farm cheese, but you added cultures to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you just said your farm cheese doesn't make a difference because you don't add cultures to it.
Yeah, I don't know if the aging process would change the flavor in just farm cheese without cultures in it.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
So he adds that cheddar culture. And the first few times that we made farm cheese, we added nothing but herbs when we got to that point where we could knead it.
Okay.
And he prefers this way. So this,
He makes the cheese.
Right. And the flavored cultures, you add those in the cooking process of it.
Yep. Get it up to temperature.
Yep.
And then add your cultures and keep the temperature around 150 degrees. Stir it for 10 minutes. Gives it time to do what it does. And
where do people get cheddar cultures or various?
We got this one at Natural Grocers. Uh-huh. They actually have a cheese making kit there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the one that I really prefer, I get online off of Amazon. Yeah. I'm not sure of the brand, but
yeah.
I'm sure any brand would probably work. But it's an organic cheddar culture. So.
All right, so I love that. I'm going to go home and make farmer's cheese myself. I've dabbled in yogurt, so this is a good...
You'll do great.
I think everybody out there will too. Let's talk about the financial side of this, because my husband and I are one of those people that have taken a huge leap. We no longer are in the system with benefits and a steady salary. You know, we just live project to project like so many people do. How do people make this feasible for them to start their own homestead?
I think starting small, just doing one thing at a time and counting. So we do this with everything, and this is why I have a small goat herd, because I needed it to be logical and not necessarily financially beneficial, but it needed to produce something. So we have a rule on our farm. One, we only bring in animals that are going to produce something. And two, if it's not producing, it goes. Anybody want a rooster? Fine.
It goes, me and you eat it.
Yeah.
Or give it to somebody else.
Yeah. Or you rehome it.
Uh-huh.
And for us, I feel like starting with chickens was the easiest. We figured, how many eggs are we eating as a family of eight? We're eating at least 24 eggs a week. And I calculated, okay, if I had this many chickens, this is how many eggs I would get in a week. This is how much feed they would go through. And it actually was cheaper.
Yeah.
So it does take a lot of mental math and figuring what's going to work for you. And I did the same thing with my goats, because we had 5 dolings this year. And if anybody knows anything about goats, you want to keep your dolings, because then you get more babies and more milk. And I looked at my husband, I'm like, I'm going to keep it to 3, because I know how much hay they're going to need. I know how much grain they're going to need. And I know I can always have 2 in milk. I can always breed 2, and I'll have 1 resting. That way it gives them a break, because I feel like animal husbandry is really important when it comes to farming. So that we look at everything we do in that sense. You know, Dr. Tracy said it best last week when I talked to her. She said, can you do it? Will you do it? And can you afford it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you need to sit down and figure out, how much do chickens eat? And not only that, when we first did chickens, they got all of our scraps.
Yes.
So we didn't even do a compost pile. We just gave it to our chickens.
Yeah.
So our feed cost was so limited. It was extremely affordable, and it made sense.
Yes.
So we stuck with it. And we've done that with the cows. We've actually bought cows because everything was so overgrown. And I was like, we're never going to mow this. That's too tall.
Yeah, they help maintain your land.
They do. Mm-hmm. The animals help maintain, you know, goats will eat certain things that the sheep and the cows won't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to create a symbiosis, I guess, where everything is working together. And, you know, if there's a problem, then we'll look at that and say, okay, well, how can we naturally rectify this, or how can we naturally change this so that we're not really adjusting the ecosystem, but correcting the issue that we have. So
I think what you're hitting on there is so important, because so many of us have grown up in the monoculture, atmosphere that Big Ag has produced and cultivated for us. So we're so used to cattle ranches, one animal systems. But if you notice, if you're going out there and doing a lot of research on homesteaders and watching videos, that it is a complete cyclical system. And so you have to have multiple animals in order to make it work. It's not a cattle ranch where you have a couple cows and that's it.
Yeah.
You need all of it, right, to work together.
Well, and we've done a ton of research over the last 15 years, because it was something that my husband was really passionate about, but we didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So we honestly started on YouTube, finding other people who were doing it. And then we'd say, well, we agree with that, but we don't agree with this. So then the more people you're exposed to, the more books you read, the more research you do, you're going to find the things that work for you. You know, the way we have our chicken brooder or tractor set up, a lot of people are like, that's not effective. That's not the best way to do that. And I'm like, but that works for us.
Yes.
So I'm going to stick with it because I like the way it works. And there's not always just one way to do something, but I really believe in keeping everything as natural as possible.
Absolutely.
And that's why I treat the goats the way I do, and all of our animals are treated the same. And really, I wouldn't give my animals anything. I wouldn't give my kids. Yep. That's kind of our rule. So even when we had a stray pig wander onto our land, it was eating organic scraps while it was here until it found a different
home.
Because
you're eventually going to eat its byproducts, right, or it, and so yeah, you want it to be organic,
yeah,
as well. All right, I got my kiddo at my hip here. We're going to end it with, how do you keep your spiritual health among all of this?
I focus on having a relationship with the Lord and not so much doing a certain thing. So I pray a lot, and I'm in the Word every day. The homeschool curriculum that we use is biblically based. It's a complete biblical worldview where my kids are exposed to all different cultures, but they have an understanding of how everything was created and man has kind of drifted away in certain areas. So as a family, we read the Bible every night. We pray together every night. We do everything that we can to live our life in a way that glorifies the Lord. So, and there are days where I go crazy, don't get me wrong. There are days where I'm like, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? Six kids, a farm, animals, this is so much. But when I sit back and I look, I'm so amazed at what the Lord has given us to steward. Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel like I could do any of this without Him. And it's only by His grace and His mercy that we're here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Us mamas here doing this, and we've got our kiddos around us. Thank you for your hospitality this week. And lastly, where can people follow your husband and what you guys are up to?
Oh my goodness. We have a YouTube channel.
Good.
But we are terrible at updating it because I need to find, anybody want to volunteer edit? It's called Goodies Gabbings. Uh-huh. So because it's a bunch of goodies gabbing, because they're all girls.
I love it.
And I also have an Instagram and my podcast, Stay at Home Mom, on the Robert Scott Bell Network. So,
well, thank you. Thank you so much. Leslie. Thank you very much.
Bye. If you enjoy our content, prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation at wethepatriotsusa.org so we can continue to power the education arm of our mission that also extends to work to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights. God bless, and thank you from everyone here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA.